It's good to be back together with you and to be worshiping in the sanctuary and having you join us as you worship from home and watch online and participate. If you've been following along through the service thus far, you already know that we're thinking about and talking about and reading about and singing about words and how important they are. And there's a strong contrast between the Word of God and human words. And so often in our humanness, we get tripped up over our words and cause all kinds of problems with them. But the Word of God is true and eternal and can help shape and guide us. So today, as we look at this word from James 3 today, I hope we're able to respond to God's word to us regarding our words. Words once spoken can't be taken back. You can know, if I had a tube of toothpaste here, I could squeeze it all out. And then if you were to say, well, put that back in the tube, that would be very difficult and almost impossible. It would make a great mess. And the same is true with words. I remember one time, even with written words, we can get into trouble. I sent an email with some unkind words about someone else to another person, and both people had the same last name. And I inadvertently sent the unkind email to the person I was being unkind about. And I panicked and I felt terrible, and I thought, is there any way to unsend those words? And I messed around online and figured out that I could do it. So I unsent the message and fortunately didn't spoil a friendship and a relationship I had with words I should never have thought of, let alone should have spoken or written. So words can cause us trouble. When I read James, I think he must have had a vision of our day and time in 2021. What he says applies so perfectly to our situation in our lives today and in our world, where words are used so carelessly and sometimes deceptively and even maliciously. James warns us why we must be careful with our words. And the first thing he says is we are accountable for what we say. In verse 1, he says, we who teach will be judged more strictly. We're accountable for what we say. Now, if you're not a teacher, you may think, well, good, I don't have to worry about this one. I'll just tune out for the next few moments on Pastor Todd's message. But the reality is, whether you are a teacher or not, there are other people who look up to you and learn from you. Your words matter. And by nature of their work, teachers, of course, are in a position of influence over others. They impart knowledge and wisdom and teach and train other people. Their students look up to them for guidance and instruction and direction in life. And this is also true of lots of other kinds of people besides teachers, like pastors or bishops in our church or coaches or parents or celebrities or politicians. Everyone is accountable for their words. Words matter, and especially coming from those with influence. Words can guide people to great or terrible deeds. I think of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who taught and modeled nonviolent protests, and he spoke about this and taught about it and lectured about it, and he lived it, and he helped shape public opinion and change the political landscape over many years of difficult trial and sharing of those kinds of words. There are other teachers who have caused great harm. We think of people like Jim Jones, whose words caused or led his faithful followers to commit mass suicide, or Osama bin Laden, whose followers, listening to his teachings and words, conducted the terror attacks of 9/11. Words are important, and they can create or destroy. And James is telling us we are accountable for what we say and what our words are that we speak or write. Those who teach are especially responsible for what they say and will be judged accordingly, but all of us are responsible for our words. Ecclesiastes 5, that was read earlier, points out the importance of care in our words. He says, guard your steps when you go into the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. I like the idea. Come into the house of the Lord. Come into a period of worship. Come into a time when a message is shared to listen more than speak. Let God's word speak to our hearts. Proverbs 13:3 says, those who guard their lips preserve their lives. Those who speak rashly will come to ruin. So whether or not you're a teacher, know this, others are watching you and learn from you what you say, by what you say, and how you live. You may be a parent, an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent. You may be a boss. All of us influence someone and must choose our words carefully. The second reason we must do so is that the tongue is small, but it's powerful. Verse 2 says, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Now, we know a stick of dynamite is not very large, but it is powerful. The tongue is a relatively small part of the body, but it has great power that can be used for good or for ill. It's not the literal tongue, the red, moist, fleshy blob of tissue in your mouth that tastes food, that has the power. It's the way your brain connects to the tongue that causes it to speak that has power. How powerful is it? Well, James gives us three ways that it is powerful. One is it can control. Verse 3 says we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us. A bit in the mouth of a horse is very small, but it controls this massive animal so that it can be directed where you want it to go. A Clydesdale can weigh well over 2,000 pounds, but the bit in its mouth only weighs about a pound or at the most 2 pounds. Yet the bit can control the direction of the animal. Likewise, careful use of our tongue will enable us to keep better control of our lives. On the other hand, if we don't control the tongue, it could very well make our lives go out of control. Verse 2 says we all stumble in many ways. In other words, we all make mistakes. James is honestly declaring that we slip up. We're not perfect in our lives or even in the use of our words. The tongue is among the hardest things to control. That's why he says if you can discipline the tongue, if you can control that, then you'll be able to keep your whole body in check. Our actions follow our words. If we don't control our tongue, we will find life gets out of control. And James' point is that taking special care to use our words wisely will result in greater self-control, greater self-discipline in other areas of life. So like me, does your tongue get you into trouble? I put in my foot in my mouth more often than not. Take care to control this area of your life, or to invite the Lord to control it for you and be obedient to how he teaches you and guides you in that. And you'll be better able to handle the rest of life's challenges. Control your tongue, or your tongue will control you. A bit in a horse's mouth is subject to the direction of the rider who holds the reins. The horse obeys the rider and turns according to the rider's direction. And the question I have for us is, who holds the reins of our lives? Who steers us? Do you allow God to control your tongue? Psalm 141:3 says, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. The tongue is small but powerful. It can control. But the second thing James says it can do is it can guide. Verse 4 says, ships are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. So can you picture this like an ocean liner or an aircraft carrier? This massive ship can be steered by what, compared to the size of the ship, is just a very small instrument, a rudder. The pilot puts relatively little pressure on the wheel that turns the rudder, and the ship changes course. Likewise, though small, a tongue can be used to guide a person's life in directions that are purposeful, meaningful, and productive. You can use words to build up and encourage others, guiding others in living their lives with hope and strength and blessing. Or you can use words to guide people toward ruin, toward criticism, toward cursing and condemning. This is nothing short of steering toward an iceberg like the Titanic, which we know led to disaster. You know, today a word can be spoken on the far side of the world or written, and it can spread across the globe in just a moment through Twitter or social media. A juicy bit of gossip can be transformed instantly into attention-grabbing headlines that no one bothers to verify because it's on the internet and it must be true, right? I mean, that's an old joke, but so much of information we receive comes there, and it's so hard to filter out what's real and what's true. I think this is one of the reasons our political climate is so charged. People rush to spew out words and make judgments without full awareness of what's real or what's true. Be careful with our words. A rudder is small and can turn a whole ship in the direction the pilot wants to go, even against heavy winds. When your life is buffeted by winds that challenge and threaten you, the tongue can help or hinder your progress. When we're assailed by words of others that trigger us to get angry or become verbally abusive or lose our control with our tongue, we won't help the situation or improve the relationship. We'll only make it worse. The question is, who is the pilot of your life? Who has control of the steering mechanism on the ship that's guiding your tongue? Are you in control or are you letting God have control? Proverbs 15, 1 and 2 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The tongue is small but powerful. It can control, it can guide, but the last thing he says is it can destroy. Verse 5 says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And later he calls the tongue a deadly poison. It can destroy. Every year we hear reports of terrible forest fires in the West, and 2020 was a particularly bad year where thousands of forest fires raged across California, Oregon, Washington, and elsewhere. Thousands of acres, tens of thousands are destroyed, and in some cases dozens if not hundreds of homes. And they all started with one thing, a spark, a small little spark on a dry piece of tinder that exploded into a destructive force. Just as a small spark can initiate an out-of-control wildfire, so the tongue can damage, disrupt, and even destroy people's lives, James says. Have you ever been the subject of someone else's gossip and found out about it through the grapevine? It's not very pretty. It's painful. It makes us feel hurt and frustrated and angry and deceived. Does it strengthen our relationship with others or tear it down? Of course it tears it down and destroys it. Maybe you, like me, you remember playing the telephone game when you were a child. When someone starts a conversation at the end of the line or in the circle, and then everyone whispers it to the next person, a line or around the circle, and it finally gets back to the original person who started it, and they have to kind of repeat what the last person said to them, and it doesn't even come close to resembling what the starting message was when the person began the conversation and passed it along. That's kind of how it is with the tongue. Sometimes we get everything all mixed up. The messages are never the same, and we can't even recognize what was originally said. When people gossip or betray a confidence or speak a lie, they're lighting a fire. And the environment of our culture is like dry tinder when it comes to words spreading like wildfire and burning everything in its path. There is a lot of fuel out there to burn because our society craves gossip and juicy news and being in the know and topping one story with the next biggest story. The internet, media, entertainment, politicians, they thrive on words, often ones that burn. Whenever I search for something on the internet, it seems that I have to wade through some kinds of advertising that are trying to grab my attention through words. Things that smear or agitate or tantalize the senses to get you to read more. News headlines seem to be more about getting attention than getting at the truth. It's a mentality that thinks figuring out what he said and she said is more important than what God says. Reality TV isn't reality. It's about superficiality and winning at all costs through lies, manipulation, gossip, dissension, jealousy, slander, and greed. And reality TV has become kind of reality life for many. These things are so pervasive in our society, it's almost like the air we breathe sometimes. We don't even realize it. It's just what we're in as a culture. Words have influence that can be destructive. James' words regarding the dangers of the tongue ring true for us don't they? Trying to live a Christian life that reflects James' principles of the tongue in our society feels like an uphill battle sometimes. Swimming upstream or trying to fight against gravity. When it comes to the tongue, the pull of our society is downward, generally speaking, and not upward. Like James says in verse 6, it, the tongue, is set on fire by hell. Oh, now we have it, the real source of deception, the father of lies. If we let him, the deceiver uses the tongue to bring division, destroy relationships, corrupt character, and defeat Christians and the Christian message. Ephesians 4:27 says, "Do not give the devil a foothold." When my son wrestled in middle school, he taught me a wrestling move, much to my pain. It was called a tree topper. And just like it sounds, you get a hold of a person's foot and lift it over their head, and they topple over. Well, sometimes when we use words in an angry way, we're giving the devil a foothold to do a tree topper on us or on the church and topple us over. The tongue is powerful. It can be used for good or for ill. It is capable of great achievements and terrible deceptions. It can build up or tear down, encourage or dishearten, create or destroy, give life or reduce it or take it away completely. The tongue can control, guide, or destroy. How you use it depends on one thing, and this leads to the final reason that we have to be careful with our tongue, and that is it depends on your heart. Where is your heart? The tongue reveals the heart. In verse 11, James says, "Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring?" And in the verses just before that, 9 and 10, he says that we try to use the tongue in two opposing, contradictory ways often. For praising God on one hand and for cursing human beings on the other. And James says this is wrong. He writes, "This should not be. It's not the way it's supposed to be. The product of the spring where the water flows depends on what's in the spring. If it's a salty spring, it will produce salty water. If it's a fresh spring, it will produce fresh water." And he says we cannot praise God on the one hand while using words to harm our fellow human beings on the other. Let me be very blunt. You can't sing "How Great Thou Art" on Sunday to God and on Monday curse out a fellow human being. Singing "How Great Is Our God" while spreading gossip about another is not right. Your words toward others reveal your heart for God, what's on the inside. And no one summarizes this point better than Luke 6, verses 44 and 45, which says this: "Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." The real issue with the tongue is the heart. Do you wrestle with words? Is it hard to control your tongue? Are you prone to listen to negative things and repeat them? Taking control of your tongue begins with letting God have control of your heart. Change the heart, change the tongue, and change the tongue, you can change the life. And we have the possibility of changing the world around us through the tongue used in ways that both praise and glorify God and honor and care for our fellow human beings. Would you join me in prayer as we close? Heavenly Father, thank you for these sobering words. Help us to hear them. Help us to feed upon them. Help us to be convicted by them where we need to be. Help us to let them lead us to a place of repentance and submission to you for where we have strayed in the area of the use of our words, how we have spoken them or written them. Lord, help us to experience the grace of your forgiveness, your mercy. Lord, help us begin anew and afresh this day to reflect in the words of our mouths the things that bring honor and glory to your name, that bind people together, that lift up and encourage and build up. And it's not that we never have to speak directly to a difficult situation. You call us to do so when we need to, but help us, Lord, be directed by your Holy Spirit when that needs to happen, and to do it out of a place that's full of love in our heart for you and for one another. Lord, we pray your blessing on those who are suffering today and your healing in their lives. We pray for those who have lost loved ones recently and ask for your comfort and care to be with them. We pray for healing in our nation. We pray for the new administration that was inaugurated this past Wednesday and ask, O Lord, for your guidance in this time of transition, for your peace to come upon this land and for sound and reasonable minds to prevail as we move forward under this new administration. Lord, guide us to truth. Guide us to grace. And let us be people of both, truth and grace, as we live our lives before you and as a witness to the world around us. We pray your blessing and guidance for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.